Open your Bibles to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Letty Kalman was born in Afton, Iowa, just after the Civil War. And she married a young telegraph operator named Charles. They lived the first 10 years of their marriage in Chicago. And in their church in Chicago, they met a Japanese man named Juji Nakata, who had a heart to take the gospel back to Japan. And under the leadership of the Lord, they decided to go with him. Another person from their church joined them. And they established a gospel mission in Japan and had great success sharing the gospel, starting churches and raising up leaders for about 20 years. And then her husband, Charles, got very sick. They came back home. And during the last months of Charles' life, Letty wrote a daily devotional based on her experience of suffering and her knowledge of Scripture. That devotional book is called Springs in the Desert. Many of you maybe have seen that book, read Springs in the Desert. She also wrote a book called Streams in the Valley, a similar kind of devotional book. And in that book, she tells a story, a fictional story, a modern-day parable, about a man who was walking in the woods, and he stumbled upon a barn. And when he went into the barn, he saw that it contained all of the seeds that Satan likes to sow in the hearts of people. There were piles and piles of these seeds. The seeds of lust and seeds of deception and seeds of pride. And the biggest pile was a pile of seeds of discouragement. Satan appeared to the man and said, "Oh, these are my favorite seed. These seed will grow almost anywhere I plant them. It is so easy to sow the seeds of discouragement in the hearts of people." But the devil was forced to reluctantly admit that there was one place where he could never get the seed of discouragement to grow: in the heart of a thankful person. That's a great little parable. And it does speak to us about the importance of gratitude. People of God at our best are marked by gratitude. A thankfulness in our hearts that finds its way to our lips. And gratitude is important for a number of different reasons. Primarily, when we give thanks, it brings pleasure to God. The book of Hebrews tells us that the sacrifice of our lips in giving thanks is an offering that's pleasing to God. You can please God by giving Him thanks. It's important because it proclaims to our neighbors the good news of Jesus Christ when we are grateful and give Him thanks. But what I want to talk about this morning is how giving thanks is important because it brings perspective to our lives. Psalm 30 is a thanksgiving psalm. There's a very intelligent Old Testament scholar named Walter Brueggemann that says that by studying the Psalms, the Hebrew hymn book, the Psalms in our Old Testament, we can learn a lot about the theology and the worship of God's people. And he divides all of the Psalms into three groups. He calls them songs of orientation, songs of disorientation, and songs of reorientation. The songs of orientation are those hymns that we read, those psalms that we read that say God is on His throne and all the people are praising Him. The world's just in the order that it ought to be in. Hallelujah, praise Him all you peoples, God is on His throne. And there are some great songs of orientation in the psalm book, right? But then there are those songs of disorientation that you read in the book of Psalms. How long, God? Where are you, God? It's not supposed to be this way. I'm confused. Sometimes we call them songs of complaint. But Brueggemann suggests that most of the psalms are songs of reorientation, where somebody goes through the fire, through the confusion, but comes to stand firm in the character of God, in His faithfulness, and give Him thanks. And these songs of reorientation, of finding your bearings, are what we most often call songs of thanksgiving. And Psalm 30 is a classic. So if you want to understand what it is to give thanks, how it is that we give thanks, why even we give thanks, studying and reading these Psalms of thanksgiving are an important place to start. Thanksgiving for new life, new perspective. And Psalm 30 teaches us that when we give thanks, we gain perspective. Now you follow along as we read all of this psalm, just 12 verses, Psalm number 30, a psalm of David. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. Pause there for a moment. Lifted me up. That's a verb that literally describes raising a bucket up from a deep, dark well. I was down in the deep, dark pit, and you lifted me up. Now, when we study this psalm, you'll find as we read it that David is remembering a pit that we can't remember. He's describing a kind of an undefined pit that we're not sure exactly what event from David's life prompted this psalm. He'll talk about sickness. He'll talk about enemies. He'll talk about the anger or wrath of God. He'll talk about his grief. But he leaves it undefined. We're not sure which of David's experiences we should be thinking about. Because, I suggest, David doesn't want us to think about his life. He wants us to think about our own. To remember a time in our own life when we were in the pit. Maybe of sickness or family trouble. Maybe grief. Maybe the discipline of God because of our rebellion. When we were in the pit and the Lord lifted us up. Verse 1 again. And have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, the place of death. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you His godly ones, and give thanks to His holy name. Pause there for a moment. The last part of verse 4 says, give thanks to His holy name. And that same verb will be used again at the very end. In fact, it's the last word in the Hebrew text of verse 12. Give thanks. Now, some of our English translations will translate praise instead of give thanks. And that's unfortunate. This is a Hebrew word that its literal root meaning has to do with an open hand. It describes our open hand to God in need. His open hand to us in provision. Our hands raised to Him in worship. It's a word that really does not mean to praise. It's a word that means to confess, to acknowledge. It's a confession of faith word. To give Him thanks is to acknowledge Him for His faithfulness to us, His open hand toward us. So the psalmist says, sing praise to the Lord, you His godly ones, and give thanks to His holy name. Now let's read the rest. I won't stop anymore. Verse 5. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. O Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. I said, what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. When we give thanks, we gain perspective. As I study Psalm 30, I find a better understanding of what it means to give thanks. In fact, if you think of giving thanks as a plant, like wheat or corn, maybe, this text helps us to understand that thanksgiving has roots and a stalk and a fruit, the grain. Let's think of it in that way. The root of thanksgiving is remembering God's past faithfulness. Thanksgiving always involves that element of remembering God's faithfulness in the past. In fact, that's the root of thanksgiving. It produces thanksgiving in our life. This is a testimony psalm. And there's a story behind the testimony. A story in David's life, a story that's left open for us. And the storyline is simple. I got into trouble, and the Lord got me out. And everybody in this room can tell that story. I got into trouble, and the Lord lifted me up. And notice, just for example, in the first three verses, it's dominated by these four action verbs. The Lord lifted, the Lord healed, Lord brought me up, the Lord kept me. And when we give our testimony of thanksgiving, my story is his story. And when we read the first five verses of the psalm, we see David telling his story as the Lord's story. The story of my foolishness is a story of his faithfulness. The story of my cry for help is the story of his answer. The story of my weakness is the story of his strength. The story of my delusion and confusion is the story of his firm reality. And the story of my weeping in the night is the story of his joy in the morning. And so David is giving his testimony about how his story is the story of the Lord's faithfulness. In fact, in verse 4, David says, I have so much for which to give thanks. I need the people of God to help me. Verse 4 says, sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. And so the root of thanksgiving is always remembering God's faithfulness in the past. And there's always that connection for the people of God between memory and giving thanks. Even as Christian people, we understand that at the Lord's table, when we eat the bread and drink the cup, we describe that act of worship as both a memorial and a giving of thanks. Because for us to truly remember, it always involves giving thanks, doesn't it? And so the root of gratitude is remembering his faithfulness in the past. And as we study this Psalm 30, we find some correction to a few basic misunderstandings about giving thanks. Oftentimes in our culture, we think of thankfulness as something that is private and in the heart. But that's really not what Psalm 30 is talking about. Thanksgiving is not something that's private and in our hearts. Thanksgiving is something that's public and on our lips. Not silent, but vocal. Not just in the heart, but expressed. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past. What would happen if at your Thanksgiving, you gave a testimony. You gave a testimony that followed this outline. You took just a few moments there with friends or family, maybe one or two, maybe a big room full, and shared a testimony that went something like this. I got into trouble, and the Lord got me out. Here's how I messed up, and here's how he delivered me. A testimony in which your story is really his story. and you're remembering His faithfulness to give Him thanks. That's the root of thankfulness. When we continue reading in this text, beginning in verse 6, we realize that the stalk of thankfulness, the body of thankfulness, is not just remembering the past, but recognizing God's present faithfulness. This text moves from past to present, and it's marked by an abundant reference to the Lord. In fact, by my count, in these 12 verses, David refers to the Lord 23 times. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. 8 times he addresses him directly, O Lord. And twice he refers to him by name. 13 pronouns, you, yours. He's always talking about the Lord. My God, His holy name, who is faithful and my helper. O Lord, O Lord, O Lord. And the text comes to the point in verse 6 and 7 where David is not only remembering the past anymore, but he's recognizing God's present faithfulness. Look at verse 6 and 7. Now, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. That was his attitude before he found himself in the pit. When he was prosperous, when he was healthy, when he was strong, when he was proud, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. I'm a rock. I'm solid. Oh, Lord, here's what I've come to learn. It's only by your favor, your grace, that you have made my mountain to stand strong. Because when you hid your face from me, I was dismayed, and I called out to you and made supplication to you. You see what David is saying? I used to think I was strong until I found myself in the pit. And then I called out to the Lord because I realized it's only by His grace that I stand firm. So David is now giving a present tense testimony. I stand by your grace and by your grace alone. He goes even further in verse 8 and 9 when he says, to you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Here David, in his struggle, in the pit, he begins to realize, not only I stand by your grace, but I live for your glory. Through the fire, he realized, the reason I have life and breath is to praise God for His faithfulness. And so for David, this hymn, this song of thanksgiving, is not only remembering God's faithfulness in the past, but recognizing God's present faithfulness. I live and breathe by His grace and for His glory. And that's what thanksgiving is about. It's about it's about making that confession of faith. I was at a public event and a banquet for a ministry, and I noticed on the back of the printed program there was a long list of names of people who had worked hard for the ministry and to make the banquet happen. And at the top of that list of names was this word, acknowledgments. And that's very closely connected to the Hebrew idea of giving thanks. To give thanks is to acknowledge. It's to make this confession. Lord, it's not by my strength, but it's by your strength that I stand. Lord, it's not for my glory, but it's for your glory that I have breath. Lord, it's not my doing, but it's your doing. I remember and I recognize that today. And so the voice of thanksgiving is a voice that says with David, Lord, by your grace, you have made me stand. By your grace, you make me stand. That's gratitude. That's a giving of thanks. Say that out loud with me. Lord, by your grace, you make me stand. Lord, by your grace, you make me stand. That's a confession of His faithfulness. We call that giving thanks, gratitude. So in Psalm 30, we see gratitude remembering God's past faithfulness and recognizing God's present faithfulness. But we also see this fruit, this product of giving thanks, which is future focused. Giving thanks involves resolving to always declare His faithfulness forever, in the future, with the rest of my life. I will declare Your faithfulness. So that the psalm begins in verse 1. I will extol, lift You up. I will lift You up, O Lord, because You have lifted me up. And look at verse 11 and 12 at the end. You have turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to You and not be silent. O Lord, my God, forever I will give You thanks. Future resolve. Forever I will. So that gratitude has its root in the past, but it doesn't stay in the past. And gratitude is expressed in the present, but it's not just about the present. Gratitude always helps us to look to the future and say, forever I resolve to give You thanks, to give You praise, to exalt and acknowledge Your great name. Giving thanks brings that kind of new orientation to our lives. When we're weak, giving thanks brings us hope. When we're strong, giving thanks makes us humble. It brings a new orientation to our life. And so the people of God at their best are marked by giving thanks. And you might say, oh, that's easy for you to say, preacher, but you don't know what my life is like right now. I can't give a testimony of thanksgiving because I'm going to be all alone. My life's a mess. My heart is broken. It's heavy. Listen, we learn in Psalm 30 that giving thanks is not an emotional word. It's a theological word. It's about acknowledging, confessing our faith. I will acknowledge the Lord and His faithfulness. It's not about how we feel in our heart. It's about what we do, about what we say. And the Bible teaches us, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we have perspective, we give thanks. If we're not giving thanks, we've lost perspective. We're disoriented. You remember the etymology of our English word orient? To be oriented or disoriented? The word orient is a noun that means east. It's a verb that means to arrange so that you're facing east. Literally, to be oriented is to be facing east. Because when the English language was being formed, Christian churches all across Europe were being built, and they always carefully constructed the church so that the worshipers were facing east. They would orient the church to face east. Because Jesus Christ will come in the east. And even more, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and for mine in Jerusalem. And so the people of God needed to be worshiping God, oriented toward the cross. Isn't it true that no matter how we feel, and no matter how deep the pit, When we face the cross, we give Him thanks. We give Him thanks. That's where we find our orientation. Bow your heads together for prayer. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Father, we confess that sometimes life can be overwhelming. We confess that sometimes our emotions get the best of us. Sometimes we get confused and are so burdened by our circumstances that we lose sight of the cross. Father, some of us here can give You thanks this season for health and provision and family and friends. We give You thanks. And Father, some here in this room can give You thanks for none of those things, yet can still declare, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Lord Jesus, we thank You because You came for us. And when we were in the trouble of sin, You lifted us out through Your death on the cross and resurrection. You saved us. So we have a testimony about how we were in trouble and You lifted us out of it. And I pray, Father, that no matter what our emotions or our circumstances, that we as Your people would be marked by giving thanks. That we would be faced toward the cross. That we would remember Your faithfulness in the past and recognize Your faithfulness in the present. And resolve to declare Your faithfulness in the future. We will give thanks to the praise and the glory of Your grace. Let's continue a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a song of response, a song that speaks of the Savior's dying love and all that He's given to us. And I want you to use this time to order your heart and life according to what we've heard in God's Word this morning. To orient yourself, maybe, back to the cross. Would you give Him thanks this morning? In a moment when we stand and sing this song, some may come forward here to join our church. And some may come forward here to pray. Maybe you need to come and kneel and pray here to reorient yourself, giving Him thanks for all that He's given you in Christ. Some here have never had a life-changing encounter with Christ. You don't have that testimony that says, I was a sinner, condemned, unclean, but Jesus saved me. He saved me by His grace. You've never had a life-changing encounter with Christ. You could come to know Christ this morning. Our pastors are waiting here to receive you. Let's stand together and sing, and as we're singing, you come.